The contents of the lab report are meant for educational purposes only. They're not meant to be misconstrued as medical diagnosis or treatment advice. Today on the lab report, we're going to talk to Taylor, Morgan, Christy.
And we are talking all things thyroid.
Thyroid's fun. We don't do it as often as we should.
We should.
But I like it.
Me too.
It's a cool gland.
Yeah,
you know?
I guess.
As far as glands go.
The world of medicine can be challenging. Clinicians and patients are always looking for more options, more effective treatments, and in the end, more answers. Functional and integrative medicine focuses on addressing root causes of disease. Here at Genova Diagnostics, we've watched this field evolve and grow for over 35 years. We've not only adapted, we've led. Join us as we talk about functional medicine, laboratory testing, and optimizing health. Welcome to the Lab Report.
Did you have a good weekend, Patty?
I always have a good weekend, Michael.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What was so good about it?
I got all my activities of daily living done.
Good. Hello!
Hi, Michael Chapman. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Patty Devers. How are you?
I'm crushing it and liking the sing-song way of talking today.
I did that a couple weeks ago, too, and I don't know.
Where's it come from? Random.
It's something I've always done,
yeah.
But for whatever reason, I've never utilized it here.
Sing-songy.
I pass it on to my kids, too.
Uh-oh.
I mean, we'll be at home and be like, can you pass the salt? And they'll be like, yes, please.
Plant corn to get corn.
So, anyway, in case you didn't think we were crazy at home, too, this is a podcast, everyone.
Yeah.
It's called The Lab Report. It's brought to you by Genova Diagnostics. Thank you to Genova for letting us speak into these microphones. And it's where we talk about stuffs like functional medicine, integrative therapeutics, and all that wonderful health-related goodness.
And if you like health-related goodness, you've come to the right place. You've picked a good day. If you're new here, welcome. And if you're returning, thanks so much for all of your support over the years. Hopefully you would have gone to iTunes or Spotify. Follow the show, rate, review, leave us 5 stars.
5 of them.
Yeah.
If there are 5. If there's only 4, you can leave us 4. That's fine. But if there's
no,
4, you can't leave us 3.
No, go looking for the 5.
Okay. There are 5 indeed, aren't there?
There are.
Yeah. That shows you how much I'm up on the tech. So you can send any feedback, like how much you hate my sing-songing, and you can send that feedback to podcast@gdx.net. That's our email address.
Love the emails. And if you're a consumer out there interested in accessing Genova's testing yourself, you can head over to Genova Connect, which is connect.gdx.net. There you can buy tests yourself, and actually we can connect you with a Genova client somewhere in your area if you want them to help you guide your healthcare.
Which you probably should, because they're interesting tests. There's a lot going on there.
There is.
Probably want to work with somebody to kind of figure out what's going on with your health. Health is not necessarily a 100% DIY job.
No,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think we've learned that we need to utilize the knowledge of others for our own healthcare.
Yeah, and if you want to order the test yourself, we have a special promo code.
Yeah, we have a promo code, and this is not going to last forever, people. In fact, I'm going to sit here and say you've got 1 more week to use this promo code.
Okay.
And it is the Lab Report 20 to get 20% off. Now, I will let you know that I don't have that type of decision-making power. But if I did, you'd have 1 more week to get these tests ordered and get your 20% off. Again, the Lab Report 20 is the promo code.
It's threatening.
Well, that's part of my parenting style too, right? Like after I'm done doing the sing song, I'm like, you've got 5 minutes to finish your food. They're very confused. Anyway, that covers the housekeeping, does it not, Patty?
I believe so.
Okay,
that's enough, yeah.
Let's get into the meat and potatoes here.
Well, I'm excited today because I have been emailing back and forth with Taylor, Morgan, Christy for better part of a year now, and finally this is happening, and I'm so very excited.
Yeah, at what point do you consider it stalking? Internet stalking?
Well, I'm just really excited and spirited to talk to her because she, you'll soon find out, can talk about just about anything. When you're that trained and you're that diverse in your passions, she can basically riff on any topic.
Sure.
And so,
yeah, and you'll see. I mean, it's not like she's necessarily some just straight-up thyroid expert, but listen, you will see how proficient she is at talking about thyroid and then apply that to everything else.
Correct, correct. We had to narrow it down. So we chose thyroid, and she jumped and said, let's do it. So very excited to meet her.
Yeah, and it's something we haven't covered in a long time, and there's a lot of ins and outs, even though it seems pretty straightforward. Like, a lot of us know TSH,
right.
and most of us know that's it, but we're going to get into a lot of other elements too and talk about therapeutics. So, and particularly different types of compounding, different types of prescription medications, which we haven't talked about before. So I think you're really, really, really going to enjoy this one.
Yep. Michael, finally.
I know.
This has been a year in the making, trying to right? track this very busy woman down. Today, we are talking to Taylor Morgan Christie.
Sweet.
And let me tell you a little bit about Taylor. Taylor Morgan Christie is the founder and lead practitioner of Whole Wellness, a functional medicine practice based out of Northwest Arkansas and serving patients in Arkansas, Oklahoma, and Texas. She is a board-certified physician associate and a registered dietitian nutritionist, and is also double board-certified in functional medicine through the Institute of Functional Medicine and the Integrative and Functional Nutrition Academy.
Nice.
I know. Taylor discovered her passion for integrative and functional medicine after it transformed her own life, helping her heal from years of IBS, hypothyroidism, and hormonal imbalance.
That sounds like me.
I know, right? She has since spent over a decade studying and mastering the functional medicine approach to help her patients find whole wellness. Conventional medicine often focuses on symptom management, but Taylor's approach to medicine goes far beyond. She partners with each patient to truly uncover the root cause of disease and provides comprehensive care that optimizes their health. While Taylor sees patients with a multitude of ailments, she is particularly passionate about GI disorders, thyroid disease, hormonal imbalance, and fertility. You can find out more about Taylor and Whole Wellness by visiting mywholewellness.com. Yes. But with that, welcome to the show.
Thank you for
finally.
Being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Awesome. Right. Awesome. Okay. So here we go. Tell us a little bit about how you arrived at functional medicine, given everything, all your history and all your training. Were you traditionally trained and yet you somehow find yourself in this bizarro world of functional medicine? Tell me about that.
Absolutely. So I'm going to try to make a really long story a little more condensed. So I actually, going back to college, I was pre-med in college, but I took a food science and nutrition class, and I just fell in love with nutrition and food as medicine.
Yeah.
And so I changed and I went to registered dietetic school. And when I was in dietetic school, I just remember sitting there and we were learning about, you know, typical USDA, you know, dietary recommendations, the food pyramid. And I was sitting there and thinking to myself, you know, I want to practice food as medicine. I want to help people heal their body with a food forward and food first approach. And unfortunately, in dietetic school, that really wasn't what I was learning. Mm. And so it was kind of from that. And then I went through some of my own health issues starting late in college that I found first kind of Ayurvedic medicine, integrative medicine, and then functional medicine.
Nice.
I hit the ground running. I was so blessed. My first job out of dietetic school was in an integrative and functional medicine clinic. And I just kind of got my hands on all the information I could. I did a graduate program through the University of Kansas Medical Center in integrative dietetics. I did a lot of self-training. I did a lot of training through lab companies and supplement companies, went to a lot of conferences, and then ended up being the first graduating class of the Integrative and Functional Nutrition Academy, IFNA, which is kind of the spinoff for dietitians or dietetics. From IFM, kind of the spinoff of IFM.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was from there, kind of, and I had a few different shifts in where I was working, worked at different functional medicine clinics. I got recruited to work for Dr. Amy Myers in Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
So New York Times bestselling author.
Yes.
It was an amazing experience. She's a great practitioner. And it was there that I just felt called to expand my scope of practice. I loved what I did as a dietitian. I loved it, and I knew that was always going to be pivotal to how I practice, but I wanted to be able to treat the whole person and include dietetics in it. So I applied to PA school or physician assistant school, got in, went back. Uh-huh. And so it was from there, and I knew from graduating with PA, from PA school that I was going to do functional medicine, nothing else. I didn't think of anything else. And so from there and since that, I've been able to work with some amazing practitioners like Dr. Anna Herbst. I don't know if you've heard
we
of her.
We love her. She's been on our show. Yes.
Yep. I worked with her a few years ago. And then Taylor Dukes.
We love her too. She's been on our show.
Yeah.
So great names.
So to work with some amazing providers. And I ended up last year studying for my IFMCP board. So the Institute for Functional Medicine, and became an Institute for Functional Medicine certified practitioner. And then started my own practice just recently called Whole Wellness. So it's been a journey, but it's been such a sweet journey. And I'm always just trying to learn and grow. And there's just always more and more exciting information of how we can help people heal from a root cause perspective.
Yeah, congratulations. That's awesome.
Sure.
It's funny. You could probably say this about a lot of professions, but I do think people, it won't come as a shock to nutritionists or dietetics, but like not going through a professional education can often seem very, very different from what your expectations. Yeah. And I think what people oftentimes get out of, whether it's school with education through nutrition or dietetics, it is so different than what I think people, you hear about a nutritionist, you don't exactly picture what you get when you graduate from school.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you know, it's, I will say for schools, even like physician assistant school, they're cramming so much into 2.5 years that there's only so much they can teach you. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of when you have to do the work afterward to learn and kind of develop how you want to as a practitioner and what kind of approach you want to take
to. Yeah, for sure. And I'll say IFNA is a fantastic program. We've actually had Sheila Dean's been on our show a couple of times. She's a friend of the show. So you've had some amazing experiences. That's awesome, Taylor. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, just listening to your bio and listening to you, we know that you could probably talk about anything.
Yeah.
Right? Like we could just pick any topic and boom, Taylor's got it. But let's focus on thyroid for today because you happen to be, like you say, this is one of your passions. So let's start here. We know that the thyroid is one of your specialties. What kind of patient presentation or physical exam findings make you think to investigate the thyroid as an etiology?
Yep. So personally, I tend to screen every patient with a full thyroid panel, and we can go into detail about that a little later. Yeah. A, because I do specialize in thyroid, right? But B, there can be so many different manifestations with thyroid dysfunction. You know, when I'm typically thinking of low thyroid or hypothyroidism, you know, I'm thinking of someone who's coming to me and they're really tired all the time. You know, they're having trouble with weight gain or they can't lose weight. They're cold all the time. They have dry skin. They have brittle hair and brittle nails, you know. They're constipated. Maybe they have joint aches and pains, irregular cycles, heavy bleeding or heavy menstruation, fertility. I also specialize in fertility. Mm-hmm. So that's a big one that goes missed. I feel like,
yes.
I feel like just now fertility specialists are making sure they check thyroid, but it's huge. You know, even just like brain fog or difficulty concentrating, you know, puffiness, feeling swollen. And then it can also be related to depression, anxiety, low libido, high cholesterol. So it can manifest in all different ways. You know, our thyroid is our master gland, so it regulates so much. So personally, I screen everyone, but especially people that are coming to me with those complaints.
Yeah. That sounded like me.
I was going to say that. I was going to say the same thing.
I just thought that was being apparent. So one of the things that we often talk about is, you know, we have a little bit in functional medicine of a different approach to even things like reference ranges and what we consider to be quote unquote normal. It's sort of like the standard American diet. Like it might be the normal diet, but like, is that the best thing? And
no,
so when it comes to like testing for thyroid, what do you look for? Because it sounds like you're like you said, you're screening a lot of people. Is what are you particularly analyzing, and do you have targets?
Absolutely. So this is like a huge soapbox for me because I can't tell you how many times I have a new patient come in and they say, "Oh, but my doctor's always said my labs are fine." Like they always said my labs are fine, and I'm like, "Well, what are they testing?
Right.
What are they looking at? What's the reference range?" So when I'm looking at labs, there's three things I'm really thinking: A, what labs are we running? B, what is optimal, not what's the reference range. And then C, what's the timing of the labs? How are we prepping for the labs? So if people are on prescriptions, like how are we timing that with how they're getting their labs drawn? Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you how many times a patient's never been informed on how to prep for their labs, which kind of mind baffles me too.
Yeah.
To start with that, you know, reference ranges. We know they were developed by labs and they do not always reflect a optimal or normal, you know, a healthy population. You know, we don't know about health status or stage of life or medication use from the population that they develop these reference ranges for. So as we know, for instance, like TSH, thyroid stimulating hormone, commonly checked when you go to a PCP and they run your thyroid, they're just running a TSH a lot of times, unfortunately. But we know the reference range is from about 0.5 to 5. But we know that probably a TSH of 5 is not optimal.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think they're even trying to change this to be like 0.5 to 10, which is crazy to me.
Ridiculous, right.
But I like this, you know, 0.5 to 2, give or take, optimally. Now, the other side of the coin is we know just testing a TSH is not enough. Like this is thyroid stimulating hormone. It comes from our pituitary gland in our brain. So it's not even coming from our thyroid gland. And it's really an indication of what our pituitary gland is doing based on our thyroid feedback loop rather than how our thyroid gland is functioning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It can be indicative and it can be part of the picture, absolutely, but you really have to see a full panel to really gauge where the patient is at. And what I mean by that, I'm including TSH, but I'm also including free T4, free T3, reverse T3, and oftentimes thyroid globulin and thyroid peroxidase antibodies. So that, first of all, has to get run, a full panel, but sometimes, and I'll see a TSH that is slightly suboptimal or is normal, but free T4 and free T3 are just in the toilet. Mm-hmm. So again, can't gauge. Other times I might see a TSH that's maybe a little suboptimal, but their free T3, free T4 are actually what I consider optimal. So I'm going to work more on like conversion and things like that rather than throw them on a medication. So that's kind of where I'm getting at, is like, you really have to have the full panel. Do you want me to, I'm happy to tell you reference ranges that I like personally. I don't know if that would be helpful for people.
Yeah, go for it. Go for it.
Yeah. Okay. So, and this is, you know, depending, and I will say, side note, we all know this, like, we're always treating the patient. We're not treating a lab value, right? Yeah, so you have to listen to your patient and you have to listen to symptoms. But TSH, ideally, I like between 0.5 to 2. You know, free T4, I like about 1.1 to 1.4. Free T3, I like about 3.2 to 4. And then reverse T3, I like under 12, or you could do a ratio of reverse T3 to free T3. And I like that about 10 to 1 or less. So that's kind of where I'm aiming. But again, we're always looking at the patient and treating based on, you know, how the patient is presenting. The last thing I did want to mention, and like I said, this just is kind of crazy to me because I can't tell you how many times people have never been informed this, but it does matter the timing of, if someone's on a thyroid medication, it does matter the timing of how they take their medication or don't take it with the labs, and or if they take biotin supplementation mm-hmm. before their labs. So we know that biotin, we really need to stop that at least 72 hours before thyroid testing. If you don't, it can falsely elevate thyroid labs, making the patient look hyper. So that is a huge one, which I think people aren't informed about mm-hmm. a lot of times. And then also with thyroid lab testing, you know, if someone's on a combination T4, T3 medication, I really like the patient to take their medication in the morning and get labs drawn about 4 hours later, where we kind of see peak value for free T3. And if they're on just a T4 only, I usually have them hold it, don't take it in the morning, get their labs drawn, and then take their medication. I had a patient recently, this is a really good example, that she came to me, she was a new patient, she was having really bad anxiety and insomnia and heart palpitations and panic attacks. And I had her draw her thyroid labs, and I got her thyroid labs back, and they looked like they were in the toilet, like very low across the board. And I reached out to her and said, hey, how did you time your thyroid medication with the labs? And she was on a T4, T3 combo medication. And mm-hmm. she goes, oh, I didn't take it in the morning and I got my labs drawn. Well, I had her take it in the morning and then get her labs drawn 4 hours later. And her free T3 was around 7, which is very high.
Wow.
And she was having all of these hyper symptoms. And her other provider was, I think, just going off of how she was getting them drawn and kept upping and upping her medication, upping and upping. So it does matter is where I'm getting at. It really does. And so I think that's something that just isn't really known. So it's, you know, again, what are we drawing? You know, what's the panel that we're drawing? What do we consider optimal versus normal reference range? You know, how is the patient presenting? And then, like, how are we timing? Are we timing the labs appropriately? Nice.
Okay, as a laboratory company, Mike and I work for Genova. That was a masterclass in thyroid laboratories. I just want to say, because that biotin piece is huge, and the time, that was a masterclass. That was great, Taylor. I really appreciate that. But since you're talking about, you just mentioned a lot of people are on prescriptive medications, and sometimes prescription medications are absolutely warranted. There's a lot of different kind of meds out there. You just said some are combinations, some are just one. There's like levothyroxine, there's Armour thyroid. What's your go-to and why?
Absolutely. So when it comes to thyroid meds, there's really two different types of thyroid medications. We have synthetic thyroid medications. So that's going to be like Synthroid, levothyroxine, Levoxyl, Tirasent, Cytomel, leothyronine. Mm-hmm. And then on the other hand, we have our natural desiccated thyroid medications. I think the only two left on the market right now are Armour and NP. There was like WP and Nature Thyroid, and I think they've gotten pulled. But those are animal-derived glandular meds mm-hmm. that are a combination of T4 and T3. They're said to kind of mimic our natural production, and they also have T1 and T2, some other thyroid hormones in them. So to kind of give you my, and this is just my personal view, I mean, everyone has a different view of thyroid medications, but after lots of research, this is where I've come to. You know, I'm not personally of a fan of a lot of the synthetics like Synthroid or levothyroxine, because they have a lot of like synthetic dyes, fillers, excipients. Mm-hmm. They're just not very clean. You know, we know Synthroid has lactose in dyes. Levothyroxine oftentimes contains gluten, so that can be a problem for a lot of people. And people have no idea a lot of the times, like if they're strict gluten-free and then they're on something with gluten in it. So just an FYI. Now, Armour and NP are gluten-free, but they do have dextrose in it, I believe, which is usually a corn derivative. So it's not a bad thing necessarily. It's just something to be cognizant of. Personally, there is a synthetic T4 called Tyrosint. That is actually one of my go-tos because it has the fewest additives as far as thyroid medications go. It's just glycerol and water. Now, I feel like that can confuse some people, because I think a lot of people think, like in this functional space, like, oh, wouldn't you want the natural desiccated glandular thyroid medication instead? And I'm not opposed to that either. There's just a couple issues I have with those. You know, my first issue is they tend to get recalled because they're not as well regulated. I do believe, with the caveat, Armour and NP have been pretty stable, but I'm a thyroid patient myself. I used to be on WP, the Nature Throid, and it would get recalled. I feel like every time I go pick up my prescription, I've also had patients that have felt really good and stable on a dose, and they go pick up a new prescription and then they feel really off just because, you know, it usually contains less than it should, et cetera. So that's one thing. The other side that I just don't, is harder, I don't love, is that, again, they're a combination product, which is great. And I am a believer, a lot of people do need some T3 and T4. Mm-hmm. It is individualized, not everyone does, but a lot of people do, to have optimal levels because they have poor conversion. So I like that. However, we can't adjust the T4 versus T3 in one pill. Mm-hmm. And pigs, so these natural desiccated are from pigs, they produce a T4, T3 ratio of about 4:1, whereas humans, we're about 14:1. So for some people, we aren't getting enough T4, we're getting too much T3, and we can't adjust it well where people feel good. And that's where you get people that try something like Armour and they get heart palpitations, I think, because they have too much T3. So those are, and again, not a bad thing. I have patients that are stable on Armour and NP and they feel great, and they're great. So I like those, I'm not opposed to them at all. I like the cleanest medication we can get, course, too. Yeah. And then even with, if you need to add a T3 to like Tyrosint, you could do like a compounded gluten-free, dairy-free, sustained release T3, which is usually my go-to. There is an option, you can do a compounded T4, T3 medication. But I will say the only thing is like microgram dosing is so little, so small, that you just really have to trust your pharmacy to get it right, because they can't guarantee the exact dose in the capsule a lot of times with compounding, but it's not a bad option for people too. Yeah. So that's kind of my lowdown on that.
Yeah, nice. And you can see where with that small amount of the medications, the actual physical medications, how, you know, small in concentration they are, you could get a batch, you know, a particular prescription, and it feels like a dud, you know, if it doesn't have enough of the T3. So that's super interesting and helpful. You mentioned reverse T3, and I don't think we've talked a whole lot about that on this show. And I was just wondering, from the standpoint of intervention or putting somebody on a medication or changing medications, how does reverse T3 change any of your treatments or approach?
That's a really good question. So let's say, for instance, someone's TSH and T4 are optimal, but they're over converting to reverse T3. So, you know, just, you know, of course, back to the basics of thyroid, right? TSH sends a signal down to our thyroid gland to produce T4 or free T4. That can shoot one of two pathways, either to free T3 or reverse T3. I like to think of free T3 as like our gas pedal. So everything we think of that our thyroid does, metabolism, energy, temperature regulation, hormone balance, hair growth, all the things. And reverse T3 is kind of like our parking brake. So it kind of puts everything to a halt. So you could have, like I said, optimal TSH and T4, low T3, high reverse T3, so you feel crummy. That person, I'm not necessarily putting on thyroid medication. I would prefer to work on conversion and also figure out, why are they over converting to reverse T3? I feel like personally the number one reason is stress. Most of us are stressed. I will say that. Most of us, but adrenal stress response. Now there's some other things that can play into it, like acute illness, pregnancy, lactation, recent infection, nutrient deficiencies, things like that. So in that case, I really would try to be working on converting and working on more the root cause of like, why are you, and figuring out, I'm always an investigator, why are we over converting to reverse T3 in the first place?
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, we were just talking about medications, and much like you said, people don't think about how you have to prep for labs. There's also a lot of things that can affect the absorption of thyroid medications, right? So how do you instruct your patients to take their thyroid medication?
Yep. So always I'll have on my patient's plan, you know, you're taking thyroid medication upon waking first thing in the morning, and you're avoiding food or beverages, especially coffee or teas. Water's totally fine, of course, for at least 30 minutes, optimally an hour, but at least 30 minutes just for most effective absorption. I think most people know that. Mm-hmm. I think where people don't know is, like I said, some teas do interfere. The tannins in teas, like in black, green, white, or oolong teas, can absorb, interfere with absorption. We know coffee can interfere with absorption. And then also multivitamins and prenatals that have calcium, iron, magnesium, zinc, selenium, chromium. Those really need to be taken at least 3 hours after your thyroid medication. I usually tell people just take those at lunch. I will say, with the caveat, and this also makes me like Tyrosint, it is very highly absorbed. So the Tyrosint solution you actually can take with coffee, and it doesn't interfere with absorption. If people are on proton pump inhibitors, I personally don't have a lot of patients on PPIs, but if they are on PPIs, that's something people have to be cognizant and aware of as well with absorption.
Wow. Mm, yeah, nice. I didn't know that at all.
See, I'm learning so much here.
No doubt.
This is like a masterclass.
Well, okay, so what about nutrition? You mentioned, you know, how nutrition can impact reverse T3, but what about just general nutrition for thyroid support? What are some of the things that you do around that, and how can nutrition have an impact on thyroid?
Yeah, so kind of my approach to thyroid personally is, you know, time and a place for prescriptions, time and a place for natural optimization, monitoring, et cetera. But if I do have people, even if I have people on medications, I'm always focusing on a root cause approach. So in my mind, even if I'm optimizing with medications, I'm trying to figure out what is causing the thyroid dysfunction in the first place, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So big root causes for thyroid disorders tend to be a few different things: nutrient deficiencies or insufficiencies, gut microbiome imbalances, stress, HPA axis dysfunction, toxins, immune issues, infections, inflammation are kind of big categories. There's other ones too. So with patients in regards to that, you know, beyond screening with a full thyroid panel, I'm also looking at iron and vitamin D. I'm looking at inflammatory markers. These are all basic blood labs. Liver kidney function, you know, we know that iron and vitamin D are essential for the body to synthesize and metabolize thyroid hormones. You know, the liver is important for conversion of T4 to T3. And if you're chronically inflamed or you have inflammation, that can also block conversion. That's another one with the reverse T3.
Hmm.
I'm nutrient testing. I love y'all's NutriEval and Metabolomics. I use it on every new patient that I can.
Nice.
Yep, because it really helps me tailor their diet, if they need supplements. I mean, it's huge. And like I said, you know we need zinc and iodine and selenium and tyrosine and vitamin C and vitamin E and B vitamins, all for our thyroid to function appropriately. So huge, huge, huge as dietary goes. You know, I'm also often looking at the gut microbiome, of course, because we want to see, are you digesting and absorbing your food? Is there inflammation coming from your gut? You know, I'm, you know, doing either just general adrenal support or like an adrenal profile, and obviously really trying to help people manage their stress more appropriately. You know, we're working on lowering toxins and moving our body. And then, like I said, for me, especially with my background, diet is foundational. Now, for some people, diet is a game changer and it makes them feel so much better and it's great. For other people, it's a piece of the puzzle, and it's an important piece of the puzzle. But I always tell people that if just dietary intervention alone doesn't help you to feel better, there's something else going on that we got to uncover that's going on too. So, you know, we're focusing on an anti-inflammatory diet with nutrients that support the thyroid. So again, like selenium and zinc and vitamin A and iodine, not too much, not too little, vitamin D and iron.
Right.
Yeah, nice. And well, selenium, get those Brazil nuts.
I know, right? That's a biggie. That's a biggie.
Yep.
Well, that's awesome. So you have a patient that comes to you, you run a profile, you do all these amazing interventions. How long do you wait to retest them to see if you're moving in the right direction? How long does it take to see some change, or what do you usually do?
There's two answers to that. Okay. So answer A is if they're on thyroid medication, I'm optimizing their dose, I'm checking them every 4 to 6 weeks until we get to an optimal dose.
Okay.
And then I'm checking them once more to see if it stays optimal. And then I'm probably monitoring every 3 to 6 months. So that's one side of the coin. It is more often because I just want people to feel good and find the optimal dose. If we're not, and we're doing more natural intervention, like we're treating the gut and we're optimizing the adrenals and we're focusing on diet, et cetera, I'm probably rechecking again in 3 months, probably 2-3 months. It takes longer. You know, obviously, like I love functional medicine, root cause medicine. That's what I'm so passionate about and I love, but it's not an overnight fix. It takes longer, but I am monitoring probably again in 2 to 3 months to see where we're at.
Perfect. Another question I have, you mentioned thyroid antibodies. I was going to say that, you know, I think Hashimoto's is becoming a little bit more common in just like the general public awareness. But I was wondering if you could speak a little bit to what insight you get from the testing the thyroid antibodies and maybe why having a gluten-filled tablet for your thyroid medication might not be the best thing.
Right.
Absolutely. So again, with this, I can't tell you how many times that thyroid antibodies are not tested. Now, I'm conventionally trained. I kind of know why, because you go see a PCP or endocrinologist, the thyroid antibodies might not change their intervention. So they're not going to do unnecessary testing, right?
Right.
They're going to put you on a thyroid medication, send you out the door. For functional medicine or from a functional medicine standpoint, it matters. Because if you have antibodies to your thyroid, we know that you're having an immune inflammatory response to your thyroid gland, an autoimmune response. So dietary, I mean, for sure, you kind of mentioned that gluten can be a big trigger of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For sure, you know. B, also, my workup and optimization is going to be more of an autoimmune type workup where, you know, for an autoimmune disease to develop, we know there's kind of three things that will occur. We have some genetics, a lot of us do. We have some kind of trigger, you know, that could be stress, trauma, postpartum, illness, things like that, poor diet. And then we have a leaky gut or increased intestinal hyperpermeability, more of the medical term.
Mm-hmm.
So we can fix your gut. We can work on mitigating triggers. Can't really change your genetics. But it does reiterate the importance of, like, we got to make sure your gut microbiome is healthy. We got to mitigate that autoimmune response. And I always tell people this, like, this is where functional medicine shines, because unfortunately I have patients that go see a practitioner and they say, well, you have antibodies, but there's nothing you can do. We're just going to watch them. I have seen these antibodies reverse. So
yeah.
There's a lot we can do.
Yeah.
And
we've seen it too.
Yes.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yes.
I mean, you know, you treat the gut, we work on the diet, we try to lower the stress, we replete the nutrients, we support the mitochondria. I mean, the list goes on and on, but that's where working with a practitioner, I always want to give, like, there's so much hope. And so if someone's suffering from that, like, go find a functional medicine practitioner that does a deep dive, because that's what we specialize in. And we can see this stuff reverse and halt the autoimmune attack and prevent further autoimmunity from happening.
Okay.
Oh, awesome.
I'm picturing listeners out there on thyroid medications.
Yeah.
Their minds are blown.
Got one right here.
I know. Well, where can the listeners go to learn more and perhaps work with you?
Absolutely. So mywholewellness.com is my website. I also try to share information on my Instagram, which is functional_med_PA. So I'd say those are probably the two best places. I always try to answer questions on my Instagram.
Nice.
I share a lot about thyroid.
Nice.
So those are great places to find me. And if people are in Arkansas, Oklahoma, and Texas, right now I'm only licensed in those states, but they could definitely work with me. Just fill out a form on my wait list on my website. So
there you go, Michael.
Of course there's a wait list.
Michael's going to be on that wait list.
Yeah.
Well, Taylor Morgan Christie, although it's been a long time coming, you have not disappointed. This was truly a masterclass in managing thyroid disease, so we can't thank you enough. We're going to encourage the listeners to go check you out on social media and go to mywholewellness.com. But before we let you go, we do have one last question that I'm going to kick to Michael Chapman.
Yeah, we got a question called the Fireball. It's a silly, oddball question. I was thinking about thyroid, and for one, it's something that's so rewarding to treat, because I feel like people, it's almost like they've been used to living this way for so long, and then once it gets turned around, they're like, oh my gosh, like, I can, like, the sky is brighter, better and the smells are more smelly and like everything's different. And with that, I was thinking of this question, which is today's Fireball. What's the best aroma on the planet?
Aroma, as in, I'm a fan of rosemary.
That's kind of unique, actually.
Yes,
kind of.
I mean, I don't know if that's the best, but I love rosemary. I usually always have a rosemary essential oil setting on my desk. I use it for hair and hair growth and put it on my eyebrows, and I smell it to help with stress reduction. Wow. So that would probably be my number one.
Yeah, very
good one.
Yeah, very aromatic, very piney.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Antimicrobial.
Wow.
Very good.
Tasty. Great answer, Taylor.
I think didn't we decide it? They used to use it to ward away evil spirits? Most of those they did. Remember that? Yes. Anyway, no, that's a good answer.
That's a great answer.
And it grows so easily. You can just put it in the ground and look out.
Yep. Can help with hormones, you know, all the things. So.
See? Amazing.
Love it.
Amazing. Well, Taylor, thank you so much for sharing all of this brilliant knowledge. Michael and I were taking notes. Like, we actually learned some things that we didn't know. So thank you so much. We appreciate you so much. And hopefully you'll agree to come on again real soon.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me.
What in the world are they doing putting gluten in pills?
Who does that? So, see, something
on what
little,
planet would you need gluten in your pills?
I have no idea, but see, I learned that today. I learned so many other things today. And like I said earlier, thyroid's just one of her many passions. So imagine if we just picked another topic. I mean, sky's the limit.
I've got an idea.
Go ahead.
I mean, why don't we just call her every single week? She can make all the content. She's got all these different talking points.
Yes.
We can just sit back and be silly. You know what I mean?
Love it.
Next time on The Lab Report, Dr. Nigma Talib.
Genius naturopathic doctor and skin expert to the stars.
We're so lucky we get to meet
these
people.
I know.
I mean, what in the world?
You've been listening to The Lab Report. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to our podcast, rate us, and leave us a review. To learn more about Genova Diagnostics, visit our website at gdx.net. There you'll find information on specific testing, educational resources, and how to connect with our show. Call us at 1-800-522-4762 or email us at podcast@gdx.net. Why in the world would you buy unsalted peanuts from Trader Joe's? Like, why do you have those?
I didn't technically buy them. I think it was probably significant other trying to do a good deed and taking the full salt peanuts and then that no salt peanuts. And then maybe the plan was to mix them. And so we have half salt peanuts.
No. Why even bother? I just don't get it. So do you think you get too much salt? Like, this should be limited for you?
I do eat a lot of salt. Not that I'm like a no salt type of person or think like salt's killing everybody.
Yeah.
But I do like some salt.
I do too. But I thought you liked hot sauce. Salt and hot sauce. Salty hot sauce.
That's most of my diet. Might be why I'm so angry with my kids all the time.